continuing on talking about our mind, our minds. We studied last time in Romans 8 that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be.
Is there any other mind besides the carnal mind? That includes everything.
That includes everything about you. It's a whole bulk. That's why emptiness is the only answer. So the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So, that's a pretty massive statement. If you can apprehend it, there is nothing that you can do with your mind that pleases God, except come to the end of it. Now, and again, if you haven't done that, that's okay. But just be honest with yourself. Now, let's continue this. Go to 2 Peter. These are talking about people, mainly preachers, who have, in verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. For the dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean or completely escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he brought in bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, it's difficult to think this is you. This is you who know the way of faith, know the way of his perfect abandonment. Know that the gift of God is eternal life. Know that you've by one offering been perfected forever. Then you return to the way of the world for your solutions. Now, there's an interesting word in verse 20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, this isn't what you think are the pollutions, it's what God says is the pollutions. The word pollutions is miasma, and it's a companion word to corruption, which is a word I can't pronounce, phthora. And it simply means anything that denigrates with time, that gets, you know, and it's not just like a little bit of time. It's even a diamond is corruption from this, because a diamond can only last as long as time lasts. Even the most precious thing that you can conceive of with your mind is corruption, and it pollutes. Can you conceive of what I'm talking about, or is this from another planet?
Both of the above. This is ultimate speaking.
And so when that's why it just drives me crazy when I hear you. Well, I've been thinking, and this is what I think about it.
This is scary.
Huh?
I said, that's just scary.
No, it didn't. Remember? This mystery of God can only be preached to those that have come to the end. You can't add God onto your life and come to God because you want to have a better life. That's heresy. Or at best, it's childish, kindergarten. If you understand that the words like corruption and pollution is anything and vain or vanity, they all say the same thing. They're talking about anything that is corrupted or changed with time. Now, if you think about it, if you believe the scriptures, everything in the universe is denigrating. It's the second law of thermodynamics. That which of itself and in itself can never reproduce anything greater than itself. Everything in the universe is denigrating. But we live in this universe in which we only look at small slices of time. And so we don't see that even diamonds are worthless and gold is worthless and all these other things, because we think, in our little world, in our little the boundaries that we've established, that must have meaning. We think that money is paper. And yet we think, it has some meaning. Or at the best, the economy, the money is backed by gold or silver, so then we think, well, that makes it good. No, that just makes it last a little bit longer. What?
Well, I'm sure remember when we talked about money. Money is just totems. It's a totem. It's a piece of something that says, I will do this.
But it's not. I'm not against any of it. I'm saying if you give importance to anything that denigrates with time, which is everything, then you are being you're what they speak great swelling words of vanity, the allure through the lusts of the flesh. That's why Paul said gain is God. He came after those that say that gain is godliness. Because you're preaching how to lust after something and then putting God's name on it. But hear me carefully. The only thing that your mind is capable of doing is conceiving something that is either pollutes or is corruptible. That's why the gift of God is eternal life. Eternity didn't mean a long, long time. It means no time at all. It means you're escaped from the corruptions of the world. You're out of the kingdom of darkness. You're into the kingdom of light. So this mystery of God didn't have anything to do with making your life better. It might for a minute. But if that's where you stay, then you might as well just go be go follow Zig Ziglar or something. But don't put God's name on it. And so the whole idea of this is for you to see the emptiness, the stupidity, the vanity, the corruption, and the pollution of your brain as you continue to come up with new ways of doing things and different things. It's not real. It's air. It's worse than air. It's corruption. It pollutes the mystery of God. The word, I love the Greek word miasma, because it means that which causes there to be corruption, or that which causes rot, or that which causes leprosy. remember. If any of you can't hear this now, then you haven't lived. The leprosy of the forehead is the worst leprosy in the universe. Because when you have leprosy of the forehead, the thing is that you can never, you can't even be with other lepers. You're forever alone. And if you don't know the haunting terror of your aloneness, then you're really a fool. Or if you've peopled your little universe with all kinds of imaginary characters, then you're just a comic book. Now this is why we when Paul said in Corinthians, let's keep the Passover, but not the Passover of corruption. If you say you're born again, that means that your life is no longer dependent on time in any dimension, in any aspect. And all of your little mental gymnastics that you go through are simply, it means you're trying to make a dead body look suitable. You're a good funeral director. But again, you can sit and listen to this forever. And then you go back and, well, I'm going to, you know, I've forgotten. And the next time some issue takes place and you end up with an issue that you can't deal with, and you go back up to the same sources, the seven mountains of your mind for solutions, it would be better for you that you never heard this. What it means to work out or to manifest your own salvation in fear and trembling, and you can't do that as long as you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. You've always been a vessel for deity, but this person that's been named, whatever your name is a made-up thing. You've invented it. And then you keep it going by the trips of your mind. Now this has staggering implications. But if it's time that you saw it. What?
Well, just thinking about when the baby's born, like when James, you know, comes out, what shall we call him? And they filter through names and go, oh, let's call him this, like they do with everyone. What shall he be when he grows up? Well, training to do this and training to do that. I mean, I was just thinking about that process of people going to making everybody into something.
Well, but then that's just the Moloch thing, and then you're responsible for it after you reached any kind of, I mean, you just accepted all their crap and then built your own little structure. Then you go read all these books, tell you how to do stuff. It's just adding more. You're just this golem, and you keep adding clay to yourself, and pretty soon you're not recognizable. You look like walking spiritually. You're like, you know, walking. Muscular dystrophy, but to the nth degree.
Sometimes when I listen to you, I think, would this be true on the way to Auschwitz? This morning I'm thinking, would this be true on my deathbed? And absolutely it's true. What else counts? What else matters? was thinking about when my father died. It's like in a moment he was not here, and all he left behind was what I had known of, and it turned to dust. It wasn't what it's about.
Yeah, John was given his father's diary. You know, that's got to be. I wouldn't want to read my dad's diary. You think you would?
Yeah,
if it was, huh? Oh no, I didn't know that about you, Ronnie. Well, let's look at this. Go to the first chapter of 2 Peter, where I think you're supposed to be already. Again, it's the first couple of verses are. Well, let's start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, knowledge, remember, is that word epignosis. It means that His Word in you is made flesh. It means it's mixed with, it's become. And so that there is no... It's not that you know or you've used your mind to know about something, and so therefore that's why you're always trying to do something or trying to be, or you got to think about it before you say it, and you got to cogitate it up before you do it. That's not what that is. This is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is one who was in 100% dependence on the Father. He subjugated every aspect of his own life and his own will as Son of Man to the will of the Father. So there's never... That's what happened. I mean, the years from his birth to 30, or until he became self-aware until 30, he, as Son of Man, he went through the same kind of stuff we did. You know, he saw that what he did is he saw the end of it. So when he was baptized, it was the death of the human race. Because that's what baptism is burial. It prefigured the cross because that was the end of the best that the human race could be.
We talked about this, the knowing, John 14, Tuesday night. And the way that struck me about knowing God, Christ saying knowing the Father, is I've always thought I've known my dad, but I didn't really know him until I heard his words coming out of my mouth. And all of a sudden there was a moment where my perspective of my dad changed completely because I understood him. Because I had become him, essentially.
Amen. That's why in the beginning when it says that we were made in the image and likeness of God, and the word, as you well know, the word image, it's tsevem, which means the shadow, or it's a word that would be translated as if you made a glove for a hand. But the word likeness means of the same nature, and that's it's image, the glove, to contain the hand, or the temple to contain he who belongs in the temple. But you and I and the world has set themselves up in the temple belonging to the living God, showing themselves that they are God because they judge for themselves good and evil. And they walk in this little endless crap of, oh, I've got to do this and then I've got to do that. And then they get nervous. And then there's free-floating anxiety. And then they have to nurse their inner child. And then they want a little white... little houses with picket fences. Anyway, and they're all crap. They don't end up with nothing. No one that has anything.
Look at Donald Trump.
And nobody, yeah, I mean, or anybody. I think it doesn't matter. And we all think, well, if we could just get that over there, and we could get that, and then if we could get this, and we'd. You know, for most of us, you never get it. So you live in your stupid imaginations. But for the few that get it, they get everything they want. They commit suicide. I mean, it's just crazy. But anyway, according as his divine, how did I get in all that other stuff? I was reading. What's
you
Kevin's?
It's,
no, I, Kevin. It's Kevin's fault.
You're scary of clothes.
What?
You're scary of clothes. I'm not sitting here now.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, he's given us all things that are necessary. There's never again effort required. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or through wanting more. Think about it. Well, just for a brief second. What if I'm right? Have you ever considered that? What happens? I mean, can you imagine all of these preachers that are teaching people how to get more stuff? They're using the name of God, but they're still in the kingdom of darkness, teaching the people of God how to get more stuff through lust. Now, there's something tragically wrong here. But it's not. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried. What I'm concerned is what goes on in you as the temple of the living God. How much of your effort do you know that wanting anything to be different than it is lust? Do you know that leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything is sorcery and rebellion? Do you know that? Do we have to read the Buckner chapter?
I was looking at this divine nature. And even that can turn on you because you'll start lusting after divine nature. There's no end to me.
How can you lust after something you already have? That's stupid. Well, then you don't. Then there's just more repentance necessary. It's like anything that is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. So how can you possibly want anything else? I mean, it's like bringing Bella to the candy store. I mean, to Toys R Us or something. I want that over there. And then she gets it and it goes in another pile. It's the same as you. So you've got, the war isn't against the stuff. That's just there so God can see whether or not you believe. The war is against, because you already know that none of that stuff is going to, it's just part of this thing of corruption. So what is it that causes you to want something to be different than it is? What is it? It's you. It's the evident. What is it that causes you to judge someone else down? It's one thing. You don't believe. At that minute, you don't believe anything in this Bible.
God's forsaken the earth.
Yeah. But you can't let yourself do it. And we have to exhort one another daily while it is still called today so that you stay in that childlike dependence on God. And just, you don't have to think about being, you just are. And if I If all this isn't true, then you better find out now. Then, I'll find out when I get to Beulah Land or when I pass over or wherever the hell you're going. You better find out whether it's true now, so you find out whether your belief system is vain or not. Oh, but I'm just shy by nature. No, you're not. You're just pride. You're just full of pride by nature because you're concerned with somebody who's going to think about you. Oh, but you don't understand, Ole. I'm just an idea guy. Yeah, I understand. You're just a friggin' idiot. Oh, I get some good ideas. No, there's no such thing. Every idea, every invention since the day of Christ has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. We are in the worst possible age, speaking the worst possible language, in the worst possible country, to understand spiritual issues. So you... I'm through. Look.
Whoa.
Even when Ronnie was 2 minutes late, then I was still got... I stopped on time. Anybody have any response to any of this? Any expansions on the tail?
I this morning I realized something that I've known, but I haven't realized I've known it. That for a long time I thought that what I was sitting and listening to was your belief that you, this was your understanding of the scriptures, this was your theory on what it means, this was your hypothesis, and that what we were doing was we were going from place to place, seeing the things that support that figured out hypothesis. Mm-hmm. And
this is the worst news.
Absolutely. it's just very nice to know that what we're talking about is what is true, as opposed to what some man thinks.
Well, my God, maybe anybody, if you looked at my credentials, well, you'd be absolutely an idiot to do anything I do.
And the reason I was smiling was I just think it's amazing that God would use you to expound it.
He's got to have a sense of humor, that's all I can say.
Well, it's kind of like the Balaam's ass.
What?
Like Balaam.
What did he say?
He says Balaam's ass to you, but points to me, so he's trying to deflect.
No, it's just a nice feeling, a nice awareness to know that this is not, we're not talking about, we don't have in common some shared, the word is belief. It's not a belief. It's what is. It's not a hope. It's a what is.
We have absolutely nothing in common except the resurrection of Christ.
Dislike,
huh? I don't dislike you. If I ever thought of you, I might, but... No, I'm sorry. This isn't count. Why? Take a big guy quickly.